Welcome back to the Modern Creative Podcast, where I chat all things creative entrepreneurship and how to grow your calligraphy business. And if you're catching me on YouTube, you can see, I don't know where she'll be on the screen, but you can see that I am not alone. I do have a guest with me today. And if you're not watching on YouTube, why not? So today we have Xiao Chen of Monstera Gold with me, and she is actually an ex-techie turned calligrapher and small business owner. We actually met when I was teaching a calligraphy class in the San Francisco Bay Area. So I have like loved to see her become this like badass calligraphy businesswoman, like from that class to where she is now and to where she is going. It's been amazing to see. So welcome, Xiao Chen.
Thanks, Joyce. I'm so excited to be on the Modern Creative Podcast. I would listen to all of your shows when I started my business. I'm super excited to be here.
I'm like, oh, that's a lot. And some of them, I'm like, oh man, I'm so sorry. I had a bad mic. Who knows what Diane and I were talking about? But thank you for also being a longtime listener. So, for those of you who may not be familiar with Monstera Gold or Xiao Chen, do you want to share a little bit more about your background and calligraphy business journey before we dive in?
Yeah, that sounds great. So yeah, Joyce, as you mentioned, I actually took your class was the first calligraphy class that I took. And I think that was back in 2018, like in the fall. So in 2019, I started my business and my business is mostly split into two main areas. So I focus on wedding calligraphy, and then I also focus on calligrapher education. So I have a website, calligraphyceo.com, where I have tips on business, other tools and courses and things like that. And then I have a smaller chunk of my business where I do live calligraphy events for corporate clients. And I also book other calligraphers to do those jobs as well.
You're running like an agency, which is... We're not going to talk about that really today, but I think I've always thought like that was cool because you're essentially running an agency. You're taking your tech and your ad tech background and like running an agency here. But no, so everybody, anything that we mention, like links wise and everything, it'll be in the show notes. So be sure to check that out. Just like how Xiao Chen mentioned Calligraphy CEO, but we'll make it easy for you. And you can just click on the links if you look at the show notes. So let's get started on today's topic. So, you know, season 3 of the Modern Creative Podcast has been about bringing on other calligraphers to share business tips. And today we're talking all about the 3 things that you didn't know when it comes to wedding calligraphy. And I'm going to say like Xiao Chen is the expert here. If anyone knows me, you know that I said no to weddings very early on in my business journey. So I'm really excited and I hope that you don't make me want to become a wedding calligrapher after this. So do you want to jump into the first thing that someone doesn't need to know about wedding calligraphy?
So one thing I didn't know is that you don't need to do wedding invitations or even calligraphy envelopes if you want to do wedding calligraphy. I think stationery is just like so well known in the wedding industry as kind of like a staple, and then people will look for it and seek it out. But there's so many people who also value handwritten calligraphy for like day of goods. So I'm talking things like place cards, seating charts, like small signs, welcome signs, a lot of these different signage pieces that people who value like custom things will look for as well. And so I actually don't do any wedding invitations in my business. I don't do any printed stationery. And when I started, I did do envelope addressing, but I actually quickly realized that that wasn't something that brought me joy. So I stopped doing that as well. And I think the point of this is just that you can build your business around what you love doing and don't feel constrained by like the norms of what, you know, you think is known and out there. So I think there's just a lot of room to be creative with what our businesses are, even within the wedding space.
Okay. I didn't know that you were also a fellow. Okay. I'm not going to do envelopes and and invites anymore. Cause I thought when I started, I thought that I had to start with envelopes and invites. And then I felt like my hand was going to fall off after doing like 100 addresses and I decided to never do them again. So I'm glad that I have a fellow person who wasn't about that life, but I'm wondering if someone doesn't want to start with, say, addressing envelopes, what else can they do besides signage when it comes to wedding clothes?
Well, if you don't want to do like bigger signs, like welcome signs and stuff like that, vow books are a popular product. day of paper, like place cards are also like another small item that you could create pretty easily. And so I think it's just one of those things where with the envelope addressing, I originally thought that I would be at a disadvantage if I didn't do it, because I felt like as a calligrapher, that's the first thing people thought of. Anytime I'd be like, oh, I'm a wedding calligrapher, they'd be like, oh, so you do envelopes. And then I had to kind of change that narrative. But I realized that, first of all, why do something that you don't want to do if it's your own business? And then second of all, I could just say no to those jobs and refer them out and then use that time to get more of the jobs I actually wanted to do. It wasn't really a disadvantage to me to not do them. So,
okay. So, Jen, what is the second thing that you didn't know about wedding calligraphy?
Yeah. So when I started, I didn't know that a lot of the weddings you see on Pinterest are not actually real weddings. So a lot of the photos that you see of these like really beautiful styled, like perfect palette, you know, perfect mood board, they're actually created through styled shoots. So things that get published on blogs like Style Me Pretty or Green Wedding Shoes, Martha Weddings, like a lot of the stuff you see, they're not actually from real weddings. So what a styled shoot is, which I didn't know when I started, is that it's basically when a number of different creatives, like a vendor team essentially, comes together and donates their services to contribute to a creative vision. So typically a photographer or a planner will put together a mood board, and then everybody will kind of rally around that vision to use within their own creativity to deliver something that matches that mood board. And so it's this really great way to basically show off what you can do, exercise your creativity outside of client work. Because obviously when we are working for clients, it's our client's vision. Well, you know, obviously we're collaborating, but a lot of it is driven by our client's vision for their wedding. And so with a styled shoot, we can get a lot more creative and have more artistic freedom with what we create. And so a lot of the things that you see that are really intricate place cards, maybe, or elaborate or expensive or whatever, it's because for a styled shoot, you only need to create a couple of them. So in real life, if a lot of these styled shoots were weddings, they'd probably be 100K plus budget weddings to produce. So that can actually be kind of a challenge, because a lot of times our clients will come to us with inspiration photos from Pinterest, not knowing that they're from styled shoots, and come with, you know, champagne taste on a beer budget, if you will. And we kind of have to set expectations there. The other point I want to make about style shoots for calligraphers is if you can get into one, they're a really great opportunity, because a lot of times this is also how you get your work published. So after a shoot, if the goal is to get published, typically whoever's organizing it will submit it to different publications for consideration. But the biggest benefit of all is really just networking, getting to know the vendors. I always think about working with different vendors like working with coworkers, getting to know my coworkers, kind of like choosing who I want to work with more. And so I've been able to get more opportunities through style shoots and through people that I've met through style shoots, because we realize like we click, we work together, raw and stuff like that.
How many style shoots do you personally do a year? Do you do them as often now that you're further in your business journey as you did in the beginning?
No, I don't do them as often now, because this year has, well, we're recording this in 2021. Yeah. I think 2022 will be similar, but it's just been an absolute whirlwind, like just no time at all to do them. But I'm really glad that I did. Actually, in 2020, when nothing was going on, I think I did like 15 or something.
Oh, wow.
I think I've done in total around 20 styled shoots or so in the time I've been in business. And I think in 2019, when I first started, I only did like one. So I definitely did a lot more to build up my portfolio. And I, you know, and I guess I forgot to mention this, but it's a really great way to get professional photos of your work. And so when you're just starting, it's really great to jump into styled shoots, because it's a relatively low investment. You do have to cover whatever it is you're making, but then you get the photos in return, which I always say photos sell. If you have photos that show what you can do, if you have a portfolio, that's ultimately what gets the client to book with you. And I actually have, we're going to talk about my course, Pro Wedding Calligrapher, but I actually have a free lesson in that course that's just all about styled shoots, what to look for when you're joining one, how to make the most out of it, and tips for success and things like that. So I go a lot more in detail there.
I love it. I was just wondering, like, okay, you have this business in different states and you're servicing brides everywhere and you train Cooper. So where do you have time to style shoes? But I was just wondering. Anyway, you know that we love dog parents at the Modern Creative Podcast. So Chen has like the blonde version of Pancake in a nutshell.
Yeah, he's the golden boy. Yeah. He's a border collie mix.
I love border collies. They're like little people. They're so smart. And I had to like put Pancake out because he's a clinger lately. So he's not here, or I would like have him on camera. But okay, Xiao Chen. Now I'm like, now I want to do wedding calligraphy and also do styled shoots. And you're kind of selling me on this, and I wish you wouldn't. But what is the third thing that you didn't know when you started wedding calligraphy?
So I didn't know that I could book 4-figure plus jobs during wedding calligraphy. And this is not during invitations and envelopes, like I mentioned earlier, purely day of calligraphy and signage. So I remember pretty distinctly, it was probably like my first year of business. And I remember, you know, I follow lots of calligraphers, probably like many of you. And one of them who was a year or two ahead of me in business, she posted in her story something like, "Well, I still get nervous when I send out those $2,000 proposals," or something like that. And I just remember thinking, whoa, mind blown. You're sending $2,000 proposals. Yeah, I'd be nervous too, but I didn't even know that it could command that price point. And I think that just really opened up my mind to the possibilities of calligraphy, because at the time, I think my average booking was probably around $300. Maybe at most around like $500 would have been a big deal for me. But I'm so glad that that person posted about that, because it really made me realize, oh, there's a lot more potential here that I don't see right now. Maybe I don't see for myself in my business right now, but knowing that that's a possibility gives me a direction to go towards, knowing that I can achieve that. And now, you know, like I mentioned, I'm about 2.5 years in. We only book 4-figure jobs for weddings. Our minimum is $1,000. Our average wedding is somewhere probably around $1,300 to $1,500 now. And I don't know, it's just really good to talk about these things, because especially in the calligraphy industry where we can be a product or we can be seen as a service, the most transparent price comparison is sites like Etsy. And if everybody has this mentality of I need to be cheaper to win, then it's just a race to the bottom. And so I want to talk about these things because I want people to know what's possible out there, just like this person did for me when she talked about it. But yeah, I really want to leave the scarcity mindset behind.
Well, I was going to say, and you just said it, but I love that that person posting about this $2,000 job was the reason why you were like, hey, what is possible for me? And I can charge that much or more. And you're doing that now for whoever's listening to this or whoever's watching this episode. So I love that, because it's just spreading, right? It's just spreading, and that narrative is changing. Calligraphy is a necessity for weddings. If that's like the type of wedding that you want, it's not just some afterthought that you then hop onto Etsy and pay 25 cents for. So it's and so now anyone who you're inspiring through this, or whose mind you've just blown with like, I can charge that much, now in a few months or years, they're going to just continue spreading it. And I hope that means the industry as a whole stops with that race to the bottom, like you said, race to the bottom with pricing. So I love that mucho. I love that so much. So how did you get from $300 jobs to where you're at now?
So I think that two things really helped me to raise the price. The first thing was that I really helped my clients to envision what else they needed when they came to me. So let's say somebody emailed me about just place cards. I would be like, oh, well, you're having a wedding. Did you know that you might also need a seating chart? Did you know that you might also want a welcome sign? So anytime somebody would inquire with me for just one thing or two things, I would send a response, obviously being like, oh, so excited about your wedding, would love to help you. And I could definitely do these two things for you. Here is a list of other things that most of my brides typically need for their wedding. Take a look, let me know if you think you need any of these other things. And so I think a lot of it is around education for our clients, because if you think about it, most of these brides, primarily brides and grooms, are getting married for the first time, they don't know what they don't know. They don't know what they need. And so part of it is our job to be able to say, oh, well, if you're thinking about calligraphy and signage, here are the other things that I would typically recommend, and do a little bit of explanation. It's our job to help them understand what's the difference between escort cards and place cards, for example. It's actually kind of one of my pet peeves when calligraphers, we tend to group these things together because the way that we produce them is similar, right? It's, you know, a flat or tinted place cards with a name. And then if it's an escort card, it might have a table number on it. But the purpose of these two items is different. The escort card is interchangeable with a seating chart, not a place card. Those serve different purposes. Our clients trust us more when they see us as an expert, and that's what helps them to book more services with us too, right? Know, like, and trust. And I think one of the things that really helps you build that trust too is being a service-based business in the wedding industry. So what I mean by that is being able to interact one-on-one, like I'm describing, like the inquiry comes through my contact form or through my email, and then me being able to have the chance to kind of consult with them on their wedding to develop the right things for them. This is different than a transactional business, like a product-based business that you might be on Etsy, where someone's looking for something really specific because they know, okay, I need place cards, and I look for that specific style they need. And then they realize, oh, I need a welcome sign. And then they look for that specific thing they need, which is probably maybe not from your shop. So then you end up with a bunch of different styles and calligraphers that are like all part of this wedding. I prefer to be a service-based business where I can kind of give them that whole package. And so to go back to the original point, that is what helped me raise my sale value as well.
I mean, yeah, you're this consultant, like this white glove service consultant, and bringing their vision to life. I never thought about that. So in my mind, as someone who's not a wedding calligrapher, it's always like you're product-based or you're service-based, and all wedding calligraphy in my head just lumped into service-based, but you just broke it down even further and what it truly means to be a service-based wedding calligrapher and how that's about education and really consulting someone. So you just blew my mind here, because as someone who's not in the weddings, it's like, yeah, wedding calligraphy, it's all services. But when you mention they can buy different things on Etsy from different people, I'm like, there go all your sales. Don't you want all of those sales?
I mean, I think, you know, like for me, I think calligraphers can be successful in both models for sure. Ultimately, to me, it's about how do you want to interact with your client as well. For me, the service-based aspect also allows me to express more creativity. So if somebody comes to me with a really cool vision I haven't done before, I'll be able to like ping pong with them off of that idea and come up with something really cool and unique. And those are the moments that really push me too. But then there's also people who just love something really specific and want to do a lot of it. And that's perfect for being a product-based business. I know a couple calligraphers and friends of mine who have an acrylic sign shop, and they just do acrylic signs, all kinds of different styles and colors and different kinds of acrylic for different signs. And people know that that's what they're known for. So, you know, it just kind of depends on what you want to do and how you want to work with your clients.
And it goes back to what you said in the very beginning of you get to define, you know, what your business is like. You don't have to do wedding envelopes if you want to do wedding calligraphy. And just like you said now, like you don't have to do service-based wedding calligraphy if you want to be product-based. So you have the power to decide, whoever is listening and who's trying to find out their niche. Just go with what you want to make and say no to everything else. Why not?
Yeah.
So what was the second thing that got you from $300 jobs to four-figure jobs?
So the second thing that really helped me was having an order minimum. I feel like a lot of people don't think about this, but you should always have an order minimum. It doesn't matter what size jobs you're booking, you should have an order minimum from the start. And that's because no matter what job you take, there's a minimum amount of time that you're going to spend on it. So if someone came to you and was like, can you write me one place card? They probably still charge them for at least an hour of my time, because I need to think about, you know, I might have to cut that place card. I have to prep my inks. There's all this setup time. And then I have to obviously, before I even get there, send the invoice, right? There's all this overhead that happens no matter how much of something you're doing. And so my general recommendation for people, and this is a pricing is a totally separate topic, but like you need to know what your hourly rate is. And typically for a minimum, I try to make it 2 hours of my time at least. at least an hour and a half of your time, I would say, because it's hard to do any job for less than that. But my point around the minimum was that this also helped me like value my time more. And as I got busier and busier, my minimum became higher and higher, because if I could work with fewer clients that were larger clients, then I wouldn't have to spend as much time on the client management. And I could really focus on just fewer clients delivering a really great job in terms of product and service. And so that's what helped me over time raise my prices, because I think I started the beginning of the year with, I don't remember if it was like $300 or $500 minimum at the beginning of 2021, I think 500. And so now we've doubled that and we're probably going to raise it again in 2022. And so this is something that you could do over time in your business as you see how it's growing. But it's just really important to know what that baseline level is for jobs that you're willing to take.
It's kind of like, and I think every calligrapher has gotten a job request like this. I know I have when I used to do wedding calligraphy or even event calligraphy, but you don't want that job, but you're like, okay, let me throw out a number there that if they did say yes, then I would be okay taking that job. And that's like, that's my minimum. That's how I figured out my minimum. I don't want to do this, but if you paid me this much, I would.
Yeah.
So there's another way to find your minimum.
Totally. I think there's definitely an intuitive trust your gut way too, because you got to feel excited about the job and you got to think about the trade-offs you're, you know, giving up for that job. So that works too.
And then, yeah, you don't resent it or whatever as much if they do say yes. So that all works. So I've learned so much. And I've taken a page of notes and I don't even do wedding calligraphy. So I know whoever's listening or watching right now has probably also taken a lot of notes. And so now that everyone's like, okay, I'm about the wedding calligraphy life and I want to do this and I want to make four-figure jobs, where can someone get started? Can you share a little bit more about your pro wedding calligrapher course?
Yeah. So my course is meant for either starting from the very beginning, or you can be somebody who's been doing calligraphy for a while and you want to really grow that business. So my Pro Wedding Calligrapher course starts with the foundation of building your vision for your business and really thinking through what products you want to create, helping you with your portfolio. And then it gets into the more advanced topics like networking, finding clients, selling, creating proposals, things like that. So it's really meant for somebody who wants to jump into the wedding calligraphy as a business to be able to start and grow with you. I have over 100 students in the course now. And I think the thing that people love the most about it is I have over a dozen templates that are in there. So it's really action focused. After each lesson, there's a specific action item to take. There's a worksheet or template that goes with that specific lesson. That's literally how I built my business. I'm like you, Joyce, I'm a left brain creative. And so when I was building my business, it involved like lots of templates and spreadsheets. And I always tell my students that I have the poor woman's version of the templates, because for the course, I put in a lot more calculations and automations and things that just kind of make them work when you plug in a couple things. Whereas like my own version's really janky, but literally that's how it's a very action oriented course. I took all the knowledge that I had from mentoring one-on-one calligraphers, over like 30 calligraphers one-on-one, and saw what worked for them in growing their business and really packaged that up into this course. So yeah, and it's Pro Wedding Calligrapher. If you want to see a preview of the course, we'll put a link in the show notes as well. But there's a free lesson, like I mentioned, about styled shoots that you can take a look at. And my goal for the course really is to elevate the entire wedding industry. Like I said, I want us all to see the possibilities and the potential behind wedding calligraphy as a business.
Xiaochen just out here just trying to elevate the whole industry and make sure everyone is getting paid
by herself.
And I love it. No, you're not doing it by yourself, because now all these like mentees that you've had are like spreading the word and know how much they can make. Yes. So it's just this ripple effect. I love that. Okay. So something that we have started to do for season 3 of Modern Creative Podcast is to ask our guests, what does it mean to be a modern creative?
Yeah, so we talked a little bit about this, but to me, being a modern creative really means building a business that you love in whatever form that might look like. I think the internet really enables us to reach people who are looking for whatever specific thing we're putting out there, want to create, like no matter how niche it is. So the example I was thinking about was I found this account that makes sexy Furbies, where they take like parts of a Furby, like like their face.
I don't want to mark this episode as explicit. So no, I'm like, where is this going? I'm just kidding.
No, well, it's not explicit, but it's like they take parts of the Furby and then they put it together with a Hello Kitty or a different stuffed animal or plushie or something like that.
No, they're like ruining my love for Hello Kitties. I don't want Hello Kitty to be sexy.
Yeah, maybe don't look for this account.
Okay, I'm not looking for it. Gonna ruin my childhood.
And then there's another artist that I really love where she embroiders over vintage postcards and creates a new form of art out of that. My point is there's people out there doing things that I can't even come up with. And that's their artistic business. And I think that that's, to me, what defines being a modern creative is like building a business that you love might not look like anybody else's business. I don't think my business looks like anyone else's business, but it's taken me a little while to find that niche. But I think it is really important to know what is your space that you play in and what do you bring to the table? How do you want to put your art into the world?
No, I love that. And you touched on something that I just want to comment on. It's okay for those that are out there that are just starting, if you don't know your niche yet, with the experience and as you go through this business journey, you're gonna find it or it will find you. So don't worry about that. If that's something you're worrying about, which I feel newer calligraphy business owners sometimes worry about.
I think 100% like part of finding your niche is doing a little bit of everything. I certainly did. I wrote on a ukulele. I took on all kinds of commissions. I did pop-ups and, you know, just everything. So
try it all, but don't try it all forever so that you can find your niche is our point there.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. Thank you so much for joining me. I never knew that us being together in that workshop in the East Bay of the San Francisco Bay Area, I didn't know then that I would get to watch this and that we would get to collaborate many times over and that I would have a podcast, but that I would also have you on the podcast. So you never know, people, where your connections with fellow creatives could lead. I know a lot of listeners are wedding calligraphers or want to be wedding calligraphers. So I super appreciate you sharing your journey, sharing your tips. And again, I took a whole page of notes. So I know other people out there took way more than I did. Everyone, be sure to check out the show notes for all the links that we mentioned today, as well as how you can join Xiaochen's course if you are interested in niching down and being a wedding calligrapher. So where can people connect with you if they're like, we want more Xiaochen? Where can they find you online?
Yeah. So I'm on Instagram at Monstera, like the plant, .gold. And I also have a newsletter that you can subscribe to. Just go to calligraphyco.com and I have a subscribe link and you'll see some free tips and other tools on there too.
Nice. So everyone, be sure to check the show notes, like just expand that. Or if you're on YouTube, same thing, the show description and all the links that Xiaochen has mentioned today will be there. Thank you so much for tuning in wherever you're tuning in from. I will say though, if you are an Apple, I would super appreciate it if you left a review or a rating. Thank you so much. And I'll catch you in the next one.